For even more of our coverage here during Survivor Africa Week on Rob as a Podcast, check out our patron feedback show that I did over this weekend in our patron podcast feed at robasawebsite.com/patron. And new patrons, don't forget, this Tuesday night is our monthly a new patron meet and greet on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. I sent the link out on Patreon. Hope to see you there.
Stay here and listen. Your life will never be the same. 'Cause we're talking with T-Bird now. And this T-Bird you cannot change.
Yes, that's right. Talking with T-Bird, we could not have Survivor Africa Week on Rob as a Podcast without some talking with T-Bird. And today, we're going to be reuniting T-Bird and her Survivor Africa castmate, Clarence Black. And of course, here is the woman who won individual immunity after holding her hand up above her head and serenading her tribe for 6 hours. It's the great Teresa T-Bird Cooper.
Hey, Rob. Yeah, today we're going to have Clarence on my rock.
Wink, yes. Wink. Yes.
So, yeah, it's going to be so much fun.
T-Bird, it's my so rock. Nice to get to talk to you this week because, of course, I've been watching you all week on the show. You're such a superstar.
Well, that's a stretch, Rob. That's a stretch. Mm-hmm. But you and Haley and Lindsay did such a great job. Now, I've only listened to part one. I have not listened to part two yet, but I did listen to part one. I love how you're dividing it up into part one and part two. Brilliant. Because they are so long, which is great.
Yeah.
Because we get a lot of content.
Yes. So,
it's great that you're dividing them up.
I don't know if we're going to do it permanently, but a couple of reasons for that. One, it's, you know, look, I'm used to it, but it's, you know, a little rough to put other people through, like, here, sit in one spot for a 4-hour podcast. So if you find that, like, believe me, I appreciate the break, but I think that, you know, the idea is to do, basically, you know, 2 hours and 2 hours instead of 4 hours. And so that's going to be better for some people. It's going to be worse for some people. But this week, it was better for us. And I think we'll try it again next week and see what people are saying. But then T-Bird, very excited to be here. It was a joy to watch you play. You're a great Survivor player. And we've been all robbed over this time that we haven't gotten to see you play again, T-Bird.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Hey, never say die.
Yeah.
Never say die.
T-Bird, so we, of course, got to talk about Survivor Africa in our two-part panel. You definitely check that out. Of course, our patron feedback show is up over the weekend. Be sure to check that out in the patron podcast feed for more Survivor Africa talk. So a little bit of behind the curtain of what's going on. Sometimes T-Bird and I record the intro to the podcast after we've already recorded the interview. And today happens to be one of those times.
Right.
That's right. I mean, that's just, we're letting people know. This is like the kind of inside secrets you hear when you listen to the Talking with T-Bird podcast. And so we have a great conversation coming up for you with Clarence. Would you agree, T-Bird?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Clarence is no holds barred. So Clarence just throws it out there and says it. So we just want to make sure that you know that there's quite a bit of adult language.
Yes. Yes.
That you want to be aware of if you're listening to it in the car, taking your kids to school.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Yeah. That's a head. So, we want to give you a heads up. Clarence is coming in hot. He's shot out of the cannon. And so we just want to give you a heads up as to what you are expecting. So if you love Clarence, you're going to really love this podcast. And of course, you know, if for whatever reason, between not a good time to listen to this type of podcast, then maybe you want to come back later or move on to the next one. Is that fair?
Right. Oh, okay. Yes, very fair.
And one other thing that Clarence, as you'll hear in this interview, is currently serving our country. So first, we thank him for his service, and two, thank him for making time for us to do the interview this week on the podcast. So if you notice a little bit of a delayed reaction on some things that we say, or a little bit of extra crosstalk, the reason is because Clarence is right now on the other side of the world, and we really appreciate him making time to be here with us.
But Clarence, I mean, you're going to love, like I said, if you like Clarence,
like we
you're
going to
love Clarence today.
Yeah.
Yes, like we, oh, I love Clarence pieces. So, interesting, Survivor Africa was the 21st best season of Africa on your countdown.
Yeah.
Which I guess that means we made the merge, but like Clarence, we did not make the jury.
Yes.
Would that be accurate?
Yes, you are the best season of the bottom half.
Right. We made the merge, but we did not make the jury. All right. So I wanted to say one thing. I loved you and Haley and Lindsay. Y'all's energy and y'all were so dynamic. I loved it. Like I said, I only listened to the first part one.
Yeah.
But I did want to make one correction. And this is a big, big correction.
Big correction.
That y'all said a big correction during part one. So when we had the immunity challenge in Africa, when Silas was voted out, it was not Ethan's idea at all.
Whose idea was it?
Not even at all. It was Frank's idea.
Oh.
And I'm only mentioning this because I know there was a part on that they showed during, you know, how they do the editing, where Ethan said something that made it sound like Ethan and Kim had nothing to do with that. Because remember, they didn't know what happened with Silas. So why would, I mean, and Ethan is an athlete. So basically we had to talk Ethan into throwing the challenge because he did not want to do it. So I think finally when he says that he's going to do it, it's like it was his idea. It never was his idea at all.
Okay.
And then I got a message from Frank, because Frank listened to part one. And this is, let me just read what he said.
Frank is listening to the podcast? Says,
well, I sent it to him because it's ours.
Okay.
So he sent me a note back while we were doing this podcast tonight. He sent me this back, and this is quote, I'm reading it. I can't believe that podcast giving Ethan all the credit. My idea, period. I told Ethan I'm not voting for Clarence, only Silas, because they wanted us to vote for Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, are you going to throw the challenge? And I said, oh yeah, Silas is going. And so Frank told me to tell you to watch the puzzle challenge closely, and you'll see that we were basically, Frank and I were kind of just standing around walking like in circles. And then Ethan didn't go along with it at first, but then he realized that he was not budging, and he finally agreed. So there you go. That is the true and accurate of the story. I know.
Wow. I had no idea. I never heard that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, when Tom and Lex, especially Lex, was sent over to the Samburu tribe, Ethan was lost because those were his two guys. So Ethan literally played kind of in the background. So he didn't make decisions like that. That was Frank's, because Frank had said, remember my statement, I'm going to get even the rest of the time I'm here. And that was with Silas. Okay.
Okay.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into our interview with Clarence, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. And everybody knows we love talking with T-Bird. I thought it was great to have a brand new sponsor. Those are our friends over at Allbirds, allbirds.com, maker of the Allbirds Tree Runner sneaker. Now, T-Bird, you're a runner, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
It's springtime. It's a great time to be running. The world is opening up. People are starting to get back out there and take care of themselves. And what you could really use if you're doing some running is the Allbirds Tree Runner, because it is the lightest and most comfortable shoe that I've ever tried on. I've got a pair on right now. Allbirds is all about trying to keep you light on your feet, and also taking care of the earth. Keep things light and breezy with the Allbirds Tree Runner. Discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds, Com, made from sustainable natural materials that feel light on your feet and are better from the planet. The Tree Runners are breathable, machine washable, so they're super convenient, made with responsibly sourced eucalyptus tree fiber. And that's perfect, T-Bird, because next week on the Countdown, talking about Survivor of the Australian Outback. So we've got Australia on the mind.
That's very survivory. Yeah. Plus, eucalyptus smells good.
Plus, check them out on the website, because these shoes look great. They're simple and they have a versatile design. It makes the Tree Runner a perfect go-to shoe for any outfit. Plus, you're not just going to look good. You're going to feel good, too, about what they're doing for the planet. They have responsibly sourced eucalyptus tree fibers for a comfy, breathable top of the shoe. And then sugarcane-based sweet foam midsoles that have the first carbon-negative EVA resin, and that the packaging is also 90% recycled cardboard. That's a shoebox, a shopping bag, and a mailer all in one. The Tree Runner is carbon neutral thanks to sustainable practices like using natural materials and purchasing carbon offsets. Allbirds has been so dedicated to reducing environmental impact since day one, from the operations to production. They treat the planet like a key stakeholder in the company, and they're certified as a public benefit corporation. So see how good you're going to look and feel when you check out the Allbirds Tree Runner this spring. Keep it light and breezy with the Allbirds Tree Runner. To discover your perfect pair at allbirds.com today. That's allbirds.com.
All right, I'm going to have to try those.
Yeah, I think you'll love them.
T-Bird's going to try the Allbirds. Perfect.
Okay.
Okay.
T-Bird, are you ready to throw it to our interview with Clarence?
Yes, let's bring Clarence in.
All right, get ready for this one.
Okay. To say I have anticipated with much excitement having our guest on today would be a complete, total understatement. I am thrilled, thrilled to have one of my favorite survivors on who just happened to be on my season 3, Africa, or should I say Africa. This basketball coach slash bartender from Detroit, Michigan, earned a college basketball scholarship and graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Classical Studies, was just 24 years old when he was cast. He has described himself as competitive, loyal, and silly. That, combined with his good looks, charm, and quick wit, easily explains why he was cast on Survivor. He said he didn't really know how to play the game. He was the youngest man on the Baran tribe and would, of course, clearly be a threat once the tribes merged. But before that would happen, there was Beangate and an extra cherry, make that two cherries on top, which proved to be the beginning of the end. After losing the first individual immunity challenge by a childhood game, rock, paper, scissors, and then a quote, "You're a man, and I'm a man, and I can only deal with you man-to-man," end quote, talk, he would be voted out on day 21, making the merge and just missing the jury. After the show, he worked locally in sports radio as a sports broadcaster and hosted several shows on teams and events in and around Metro Detroit. He has also been a stockbroker and professional planner. He is happily married to his beautiful wife, Lorena, and together they have 4 kids. Now at 44 years old and a direct commission into the Army Reserve and a public affairs captain, he says, quote, "I really didn't understand that Survivor Africa would be with me for life, and yet I am known for something stupid I did back in 2001 on Survivor," end quote. Even with that, he says Survivor and everything that happened to him after has given him the best life, and he says he will always be grateful to Mark, Jeff, and CBS for changing the course of his life. Buckle up and hold on for a fun, wild ride guaranteed to leave you in tears, tears of laughter. He can put a spin on a story, whether he is talking about making a cow oven in Africa, his tattoos, the one player he wished he could play with and why, the one culture shock he had once he got home from Africa, the herd of elephants who gave him no privacy, drinking cow's blood, communicating with the chickens, his being a part of the Survivor Diversity Campaign, and giving his Survivor Harlem reference. Let's bring in the guy that I literally put my neck out on the line for by giving him my word and casting the mystery vote, the guy that I would still give my word and never break, the guy I want more than ever to get his Survivor second chance, my dear, dear friend Clarence Black, a.k.a. CV.
Yes.
I missed my bell.
Yeah. That's the most, that was the most, that's the most goddamn Miss Daisy intro ever. That's the best you can do is read that old ass shit. Are you serious right now, P?
What did she do that?
I am an army major.
Where the hell? No. Oh. Hell no. Where did you get that shit, D? Where did you get that? Tell me where you got all that. Because I.
All right.
That sounded eerily familiar. No, hell no.
Yeah, I pulled it.
Oh, so I wonder. No. I want to know where you got that. Where'd you get that shit?
All right. So I got it from your EW interview years back in 2001. I got it from your Dalton Ross interview that was last summer. And then I just Googled everything I could Google and everything I could pull up. Well, correct me on everything. Get it right for me.
Can't believe everything on the internet, T-Bird.
Yes, I know. Tell me where I messed up, CB.
Oh, I'll gladly tell you. It's the fact that you have my cell phone. You can ask me that shit. You seriously? You could have said, hey, give me a bio or send me a bio that I can read. You know me, man. You talk to my wife. Like, why would you read some shit from 2001? I'm not a captain.
Well,
I'm a major.
Got a point, T-Bird.
I literally would go back and retract all that nice shit I said about Mark and Jeff and CPS.
Oh, dear Lord. All right, well, good. We'll set
hey,
the
look. All right. Like, now I feel like T-Bird is my Miss Daisy. All I need is my hat. Go ahead, Miss Daisy. You keep talking. And can I just say, man, for the fact, I know he out there somewhere, right, man. Who the fuck is Sam Moore? And have you confirmed his age, man? Sam is like 12 years old. Like, Rob hired Benjamin Button. But yeah. Also, that has your audience ever seen Sam Moore?
Yeah, not all of them. Yeah, a lot of like people don't know, like, the ins and outs of behind the scenes about, yeah, what goes on. Sam works for the podcast and helps coordinate a lot of the interviews.
And he's in a fucking basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, from his mother's basement. He looks like he's in a fucking dungeon. It's like Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, what most of the time, the audience doesn't see that part of the show. You've seen behind the curtain now. You're seeing how the sausage gets made.
Hey, now listen. So I said this shit before we got started. Rob, this is between you and me.
Yeah.
All right? And then we'll let T say what she got to say. Rob, you know good and damn well, too much skin on Instagram. You agree.
The T-Bird.
Tell the truth.
Look, T-Bird knows what
she's
doing.
Too much skin on Instagram. Tell the fucking Rob. But it's a lot of skin. She half naked. Every TB half naked.
Rob, it's half naked, and Clarence. Man. It's tasteful.
I love the videos.
You like the videos?
I'm not saying it's not tasteful. I'm still saying you still half naked.
Oh. So Clarence, did you say you liked,
I don't like how you
liked the videos?
Even the way you asked that was bullshit.
Clarence, did you say you liked the videos?
The videos, I think, get the point across. I think the videos get the point across.
I shot yours yesterday. Clarence, I shot yours yesterday. I put so much thought into yours. I did it yesterday. I was going to let you look at it, and I guess I should
have
run it by
you
first. Go
on. Did you have clothes on?
Yeah. Of course.
See,
that's
good. How did let you get away with not having clothes on? Why are you always in a bikini?
Yeah.
You are always in a bikini.
Look, that's what works on
always
Instagram,
in
Clarence.
Well, I don't know about always,
hey, look,
but you know,
man,
the weather down south's kind of nice.
Hashtag what?
You in Georgia. So y'all got y'all own set of y'all struggling. Hashtag get T's tits off Instagram. First hashtag of this interview.
My.
It's gonna be a few of them. Hey, where's Chad at, man? Where's Chad?
Akiva?
Where's my son at?
Yeah.
Where's Chad?
He's not on this podcast. This is a Survivor podcast. I mean, if you want, I can see if we can find him.
All right,
yeah.
Second hashtag. Listen, second hashtag, Chad's daddy.
Yeah.
Chad's daddy. Second hashtag. Second hashtag.
Chad's daddy. Got it.
When I talk to you, man, well, listen, I get it. It's my son, man.
Mm-hmm.
You tell my son his daddy said, what up?
You are
my
Chad's
dad.
Chad
Weiniger,
yeah.
Accountant.
Got it.
No, the Rob.
Yes.
No, you don't got it, because that ain't what I said.
Yes.
I'm his daddy.
Daddy.
Chad's daddy. Hashtag Chad's daddy.
Okay.
Tell his ass I said that. In fact, he'll see this. Hey, Chad, look at me, boy. Hey, Chad. I'm your daddy, boy. Remember that. Let that boy know who his daddy is.
Hey, Clarence.
From Mr. Weineker.
Did you know?
Hey, Clarence, replaced.
Did you know?
What's up, baby?
All right, Clarence. So, did you know that Rob on RHAP is doing a countdown of the top 40 Survivor seasons? And Africa ranked number 21 on the series. Basically,
yeah, I got to say, man, disappointed in that.
Yeah. Now that's a fan vote, Clarence. Yeah. That wasn't my vote. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good this week.
I know, man. But listen. Here's why I have a problem with my season, and it's not the fans' fault. We aired on 11 October 2001. Like, the nation was still very much in shock.
Yeah.
And I think that will forever kind of, I don't want to say it tainted our season, because it was still a top five show, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we had the chance to really be embraced. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think in some way, I think even the fourth season kind of suffered from that. You think about the shock of 9/11, right? I think that will always kind of carry. And then Rosie O'Donnell's punk ass not hosting our finale or giving us our cards. And no disrespect to Brian Gumble, man. You know, Hall of Fame journalist, lot of respect for him. You know, Rosie doing that, man, just kind of, you know, that took some of the, but everybody got cards, man. The first season got cars, second season got cars, fourth season got cars. Tell Rosie Fast to give me my car, man. Hashtag Rosie Fast owes Clarence a car. That's a long hashtag, but give my goddamn car.
Clarence, I didn't know season 1, 2, and 4 all got cars. I mean, I just maybe didn't pay attention to it. So is that right, Rob?
I know for a fact. Listen, I know season 2 got cars. Season 4 got cars for sure. Because and that was what it was. Her punk ass came back in season 4. Brian Gumble did ours in season 3 because she refused, I think. And then season 4, they got cars. I almost want to say season 5 got cars, but I think it was, I know for a fact 4 got cars.
Yeah.
See, they got them Saturn views and shit.
They got a Saturn view, the season 4.
Yeah, Saturn. I don't even want a damn Saturn view, but I mean, I'll take it if it was free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that the second season people, I mean, they were,
man, that pissed me off.
They were really celebrated after their season. And I'm sure that when you both played, you thought, okay, well, we're going to be the next phenomenon. And then, you know, 9/11 happens, and then people aren't following, you know, things like, Survivor Australia was just like a phenomenon, and you were coming right on the heels of that. And then that people never consider it the same type of phenomenon again after that.
No, I remember it was weird looking back. I remember when we came home, we were at the airport, and this was before when we got home, Homeland didn't exist. There was no TSA. And so we were really very much in an innocence of just feeling like our worlds were so secure, so safe. I remember we were all excited. And yeah, because I think we saw how much excitement there was for the Australian Outback finale, right? I mean, it just was Survivor fever was really kind of taking hold. And like, man, everybody was so excited. And you know what it was the fall too. You know what I'm saying? It was, we were coming out with the rest of the shows, and then 9/11 just literally didn't just change our country. It changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm deployed right now and can't get into where I am or anything, but you know, the fact that I am where I am is a direct correlation to what happened on 9/11. So it changed everything. And so as good as our season was, I think it was good in spite of the collective shock that people were in, man. I'll never forget flying into New York the night I got voted off. So I flew into New York on Thanksgiving morning with my mom because I was being voted off that night. And you could still see the clouds, the dust from what used to be the World Trade Center site because they were doing the cleanup. And I'll never forget, just it kind of hit me like, man, this really is not that important. You know what I'm saying? And by that point, I remember landing at, I think it was LaGuardia. And that was the first time I saw like the National Guard guys with like the low ready. And I was like, oh shit. Yeah. The world just changed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we will never know what our season could have been. So I think the fact that people watched it was awesome. That the fact that people still literally tuned in and were entertained by it, man. I think that's a testament to the show and a testament to our fan base. I have said this, whether I've been actively engaged with fans or not engaged with fans, I still say this to this day, man. Survivor fans are the most loyal, the greatest fans, I think, on the planet. And I can't find another fan base as loyal. And these people find you. They some way, somehow, man. I mean, you got 83,000 followers. I have no idea. You have no talent. But the fact that these people just find you and love you, that shit is amazing, man. Now, T, I know why they follow T, because she got her titties on Instagram. Your ass is a whole different case. But, I mean, they love you. So, and I get it, man. You're kind of handsome, and you got some appeal, and I get it. A nice smile. But other than that, I have no idea what the fuck you do. But, I mean, still.
Yeah,
It's true. I'm being honest.
Yeah. No.
We'll be honest.
No lies detected.
T, I get.
Yeah.
Every 18-year-old boy in Georgia is following T on Instagram.
Wow, I don't even know what to say. I'm just thinking what I want to say, and I'm thinking I might not want to say it. I'll probably say it before we finish.
Can I ask a question about you two? Because that on the show, and I just watched the season this week, that we don't see really any interaction between the two of you until you are in the immunity challenge and you're up there talking. Did you two become close after the swap when Teresa and Frank came over to Baran and we just didn't see it on the show?
You know, from my perspective, man, so the thing I liked about T right away, man, was she was genuine. And, you know, after kind of the drama I had with my tribe, you know, she just had a way of speaking that was just very kind of just, it was just kind of straightforward, man. And it was more of a feel than anything. And one of the things about the show, and Rob, you know this, is there are some people that play the game, and then there are some people that they are legitimately just full of shit. Right. I mean, there are people that, you know, during the game, man, they're just playing. And people always trip out because when they say, well, man, who do you keep up with? And I'm like, well, man, I keep up with Lex and Ethan. They're like, oh, Lex. Like, people made it seem like I cannot express in words how much, man, I love Lex and Kelly Vandenberg. They are phenomenal people, phenomenal parents, just amazing people. But Lex went there to play a game to win. I understood that. I never felt like Lex was a full of shit person, though, and that was confirmed after the game. Same thing with T played the game, but she never strayed away from who she was. And so I think with T, I was like, man, this lady seems really cool, really genuine. Now, after the show, you know, her and I were in Chicago for a CBS up front, and I really got a chance to spend time with her. And at that point, I was like, okay, she's amazing. Full of life, amazing mom, just genuine person, just one of the she is one of the greatest people that I know. If somebody had a negative word to say about her, man, it would make me question them automatically. And so, you know, I'm a very direct person. I'm not for everybody. I understand that, man. I know that. But very rarely do I have a feel for people and I'm wrong. Like, I genuinely kind of get an idea like, man, I'm not going to have this. People I'm going to like, people I'm not going to like. And I normally am batting about 850, 900 in that department. With her, I was just like, man, this lady is legit. She cool. She playing the game, but she's still who she is. And so, yeah, it was just easy to kind of have that rapport with her, you know. And what was great is she let me get to know her and she took the time to get to know me. So, man, we've been friends for 20 years, man. It's fucking crazy. 20 years, yeah. T. Yeah. 20 years, man. It'd be 20 years this summer that we did this crazy shit. And she still look good, yo. Yep. Like, she ain't age. She don't age.
Check out Instagram.
Clarence, you know, I was thinking about what could have been, what could have changed for us. You and I didn't have time to change anything because Frank and I just had gotten swapped and we were at the bottom of the barrel. Our days were limited until the swap. So we were both excited, but still in shock that we got to come over. And then when we got over to you and Ethan and Mama Kim, we weren't talking strategy because it was just two of us and three of y'all. I had no way of knowing that what had gone on, you know, with Baron before we got there. So, you know, looking back now, you know, we could have pulled something together because even with Mama Kim and Ethan, I think they were so shocked to lose Lex because Lex was running the show. And
yeah.
Once we got over there, you know, we started figuring out how we could stay in the game longer. And Frank and I decided the only way we can stay in the game longer is to get Silas out. And of course, the three of y'all were totally on board because it was part of the Samburu tribe. Because Frank and I had decided that once Silas came over with Brandon, Lindsay, and Kim, Silas was going to tell them that Frank and I were just the worst things ever. And we already knew what he was planning on doing, so we knew we couldn't let that happen. So, you know, we didn't have time to strategize. We just knew we needed to get Silas out. And then from there, well, you know what happened from there.
Well, can I ask you this question? As I was watching this part of the season back, where, like, let's say that things maybe were, if Silas and Frank and T-Bird were on better terms than they actually were, Clarence, would you have considered voting against Ethan and Kim Johnson there? Would you have considered flipping against Baron?
Yes. But I will say to that, so I think there are two things people have to remember is if you were a part of the first, 16, so 48, right? So seasons 1, 2, and 3, the first 48, you had no true formula yet.
Yeah.
I think around season 4, people started to get an idea of, okay, this is how. And so I always think of seasons 1, 2, and 3 like watching old football or old NBA or old MLB where it was like no 3-point line and the rules were different and shit. And, you know, it's back like watching football games before the forward pass when everything was like a inside beer and, you know, fucking Newt Rockne is the coach and, you know, there are no black people because you know how they did us back then and shit. So, so there was no blueprint to say, oh shit, I'm going to change my game up and do this. Survivor was played a very almost instinctual way.
Yeah.
So it was almost like you were constantly reacting. Nobody really was operating from a strategy standpoint. It was just everybody, the way you played the game was really more to react. Even Richard, they're like, well, his strategy. I'm like, Richard, what? Richard didn't have no goddamn strategy because nobody knew what the game was. Richard was making up stuff as he went. His strategy was essentially just kind of just throwing grenades and see what would happen, which by today's standards, I mean, it's really kind of dumb, but there was no strategy to go with. So I look back at the way I play, and again, it's hindsight, right? But it would be like Steph Curry looking at the 56 NBA finals with no 3-point line and going like, oh shit, man, this is the game is played at such a vastly different pace now. I look back then, and again, you can only play the game based on who you are and what your knowledge was. I am a 44-year-old field grade officer in the Army. Right?
Major.
I've had 20
major.
Years of parenting and business and major.
Major.
So I've had that to be able to look back and go, oh, major. Yes, I'm a major, T. Damn. So now I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I should have basically done this. I line up with Frank and T. I grab Kelly because Kelly wasn't a fan of Lex. Line up with them two, grab Kelly. Okay, now we're straight. Or line up with them two. Because who came over? Who do we have? I think we had Silas and what, Kim?
And Frank.
Was it Kim P?
Yep. And she would have been with us for sure.
Yeah. And so that's what should have happened. When we merged, I should have grabbed Kim, Brandon, Silas, Frank, Kelly G, and me, and that would have been our six, and then we would have isolated Kim, Tom, Ethan, and Lex, and then we would have just washed them out.
Yep, but could you get Frank and Brandon to vote on that one? They wouldn't work together when they tried that on the next vote.
Well, if you think about what happened, if they were to say no, what would have happened, which was all they did was picked off. The non-Baran people got picked off anyway.
Yeah.
So the deal to make with T and them would have been, you're going to get picked off no matter what. The person that threw me off was Kelly. Cause again, I had no idea I haven't talked to Kelly, but Kelly never had a firm sense of where she stood because Lex and Kelly had so much. The only group that was truly solid was Kim Johnson, Ethan, Tom, Lex. That four was solid. And once that four was solid, I think everybody should have looked at that and said, we got to break them up. Silas had to go because Silas would have taken control of the youngins. But to T's point, like, yeah, that, and I thought about that. That was the play. But again, it's easy to look back and say, oh man, I should have done X. Like, if you think of how stupid this shit is. I'm the first person to be told they're getting voted off. Mm-hmm. And my instinct was, oh, well, cool. At least they're telling me. It wasn't to like my natural instinct wasn't to, oh, you're giving me time to hustle and make a deal. Which in hindsight, I'm like, oh,
yes.
You're so stupid. But
yes.
But again,
Clarence. Yes,
I didn't have
Clarence.
A frame of reference for that. You know, I look back
right,
at
so
that.
Clarence. Because I thought about
ahead,
that
G.
all week.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, this Clarence, I thought, you know, fight or flight. He's just told you you're going.
Uh-huh.
At that point, I'm thinking, why didn't he come to me and Frank? You know, why didn't he come to us then? Because, you know, and of course, I didn't know Kelly G. I didn't know that anybody wasn't listening to Lex. I thought everybody was listening to Lex. And I had no ground to know that Kelly didn't care for him. And I didn't know I didn't know he had come to you and said, we're voting off. I didn't know he had actually told you that. I just heard everybody kept saying, Lex said we're voting for Clarence. I'm like, Lex said, what's that about? And if you had started stirring it up then, I think we could, I mean, it would have been a dangerous move. But, and by the way, don't put Brandon in the equation. Brandon was a wild card. He was not, Brandon was kind of there, I think, to mix it up. I don't think he was, his strategy was to see how far he could get. I think he was kind of just kind of trying to mix it up and see what he could do there. But you and Kelly G and Frank and me, and we'd have Kim Powers, we would have been solid. Because Kim Powers was great once she was away from Silas and Lindsay. She was, a matter of fact, we tried to pull it back together, and we tried to pull Brandon in, but he went with Lex. So, yes, Clarence, yes. And so when Clarence told me, and Clarence, I'll never forget this. When we were, you came to me and you said in the most sincere way, you said, T, you called me T. You said, T, please don't vote for me tonight. Everybody else is. And I thought, I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew I was not going to vote for you no matter what, because I felt so bad for you. But again, trying to figure out an option, I didn't even tell Frank what I was doing because I didn't have anybody else but Frank at the time. And Lex was a strong, strong leader, very strong and intimidating, because even for Kelly not to try to jump ship then.
Clarence, can I ask you about that? When you went to T-Bird and said, could you please not vote for me? Everybody else is going to vote for me. It was that like, basically, are you saying, I want somebody to give me a vote here so I don't feel like it's everybody against me? Or were you trying to maybe get more people on board?
You know, looking back at it, I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that like flippantly. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I literally, what I learned about Survivor, and I tell people this shit all the time, and I've been through military training. I've been like, I have never been as mentally stressed as I was on that show. And it was a combination of all of it, man. The isolation of that environment was truly unforgettable, because we couldn't move. And that was the thing about it that I think people didn't understand, is we didn't have the ability to kind of move out and about. We were isolated at night. There was no water where we could just go swim. It was as austere a condition. I don't know if anyone in the history of Survivor has ever been in that austere an environment. You could not move. We were basically in prison. That berm was a prison. And so I was just feeling like, man, I want to be done with this shit. And my thought at the time was, man, I was trying to figure out I knew I didn't have Lex. And I had a pretty good idea. It was Lex, Tom, Ethan, and Kim. And I promise you, one of the things I learned about that, man, is like I did not realize how mentally fatigued I was until when Lex said to me, "Hey, we've decided." It was the "we've decided" part, and I'll never forget this shit when he said "we," because it made me feel like, dude, it's only 10 people in all. I'm like, wait a minute. 9 of y'all have said, I got to go, all 9. And Lex was like, yeah, we decided. And at that point, I just felt like, well, shit, if it's not like 1 or 2, I got to get 8. Like, I'm not going to get you, but I got to get 8. I went to Kelly. I did. I remember this. I went to Kelly and I was like, yo, Kelly was like, dude, Lex got everybody against you. If I don't go, he'll figure it out. And I was like, come on, man. I didn't talk to Frank. I didn't talk to Brandon. I didn't talk to Kim. Cause I started with Kelly, cause Kelly was one of the people I thought I was close enough with Kelly that I was thinking, man, if I can flip Kelly, I think I would have, that would have changed my game. Kelly was the person I felt like I could go to. And when I went to Kelly and Kelly was like, yo, I got to roll with this. Cause I think she thought, hey, they want to get rid of somebody tonight. And remember, this is a few hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
I found this shit out like 2 hours before we about to roll. So I was like, if Kelly said, yeah, I'll roll with you. And oh, by the way, we got to get 4 other people. I'm like, oh, wait, shit. I would have went to T and said, hey, T. So T, think about this. If I would have went to you and said, hey, T, I got Kelly on my side. I think T would have said, okay, I'm with you. Frank is with you. So now all of a sudden it's me, yep. T, Kelly, yep. Frank. That's four.
And
now, if you think
sure.
about it,
yep.
if we can get Kim and Kim, and if we get Kim, then Kim brings Brandon. And even if Kim don't bring Brandon, now Brandon becomes the wild card to Lex, Tom, Ethan, and Kim Johnson. So now we got 10 people and we are.
Could go 5-5. Yeah.
But Kelly was the one that basically made, I mean, yeah, but Kelly was the one where it was like, Kelly was like, when Kelly basically told me, like, well, I'm just rolling with them, then it was like, oh, well, shit. Like, mm-hmm. if I don't got you, then it don't matter.
See, Lex never let me in. Lex never let Frank in. We never knew what was happening. And I'm sure he didn't let Kim Powers or know either. So we weren't included in that vote. We just knew they had control. He didn't come to us with anything. It just kind of trickled down that the vote was going to be you, but not because he told us or asked us. But you didn't know that because you're right. You didn't have time.
Yeah, no.
It's wild that they ended up going with you, who is one of the Baran tribe members, where that everything, I guess, in the previous seasons has been so much like our tribe versus their tribe. It's wild. It's not that they have that big of an advantage to not vote off one of the Samburu people at that first vote after the merge.
Well, remember, though, so this is where this is the one thing where I think people who watch the shows benefited. Now, I will say in full disclosure, when there were a small number of people who knew I was going on Survivor and they said, hey, you might want to check out the previous seasons. And I was like, I'm 24 years old. I'm like, I'm going to drink and get laid, hang out for a little bit. Well, here's remember. So if you remember Australian Outback, remember Colby went on one of the greatest runs any competitor ever has. I think he won like 7 out of 8 straight challenges or some shit mm-hmm. on his way to the final. So that was fresh in everybody's mind. So to Lex's point, and I get it, Lex is like, yo, if we don't get you out now, if we don't, because this is our opportunity, and understanding what Colby did. Now, I didn't realize that till after the fact. I think it was one of the people with CBS was like, yeah, that you might have pulled a Colby. And I was like, wait, what? And they were like, yeah, Colby won like 7 in a row. Like basically, like Colby just like that was it. Like Colby went like win, final. And it was like, I was like, oh, shit, you could have. And they were like, yeah. So that was fresh in the people who understand. I think Lex was one of the people who had an idea at that point. Like, oh, no, we got to you got to go, because we were on our own at that point.
Yeah.
So it made sense. But again, had at 24, that's just not how my brain works. At 44, oh hell yeah. And that's why I want to play. I want to play again, because now it's like, oh shit, now I get it. And it's not that I get it because I've watched all these seasons, which I haven't. I just know at 44, father, husband, officer, businessman, I just know now how much mentally tough I am. I think Lex being a father, Kim being a father, Frank, I think the parents, right? Just the toughness, just the mental toughness. And I know Ethan won it and he's not a parent. I mean, this is just was well documented just in what yeah. being a cancer survivor. So, I mean, Ethan was already physically tough and he was older. So that's one of the reasons I want to play again, on top of the fact that I don't want my legacy to be about that bullshit, which is them damn beans. Because even though it's fun, man, it's like my kids are old enough now where people fuck with them in school. And it's like, all right, dude, like, let's play. Like, and again, man, for CBS and Jeff and them, it's like, okay, like, for years, I stayed away from this shit. And it is genuinely now like, okay, dude, like, y'all let anybody play. They got sexual harassers, freaking felons and pedophiles and It's like, come on, y'all. Like, you're not going to let, and it's a separate topic, but, you know, this whole, like, that they get to pick who to pick. You know how the fuck you become a fan favorite? You play. So how are one-time players going to ever be fan favorites when they keep hand-picking the same damn people? I got nothing but love for Boston Rob, but if the motherfucker never played again, guess what? That'd be great. Sorry, ass Red Sox. Fuck the Red Sox, too, by the way. And the Patriots. Son of a bitch. I'm a little better.
Yeah.
I'm a Detroit sports fan. Yeah. We had some rough goes lately.
Yeah. That was an AFC East belting. We're going to step away from this interview with Clarence for just one moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire this spring? Look, sometimes you're looking to find somebody that wears a lot of different hats. This can happen sometimes where you grew with somebody who was doing a lot of different jobs and that person moves on and you're trying to replace them with somebody who has sort of like a non-traditional job title. It can be challenging. Or you might have a simple position to fill, but it's finding forever to find someone who's a great fit for your company. That's where ZipRecruiter comes in. ZipRecruiter can help you find qualified candidates fast, and you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Whether you need to hire a civil engineer in New York, a pediatric nurse in Nebraska, an attorney in Colorado, or even a mascot in Missouri, this sounds like a Survivor cast of that. Oh, did you see the this season we've got a civil engineer in New York, a pediatric nurse in Nebraska? ZipRecruiter's matching technology is going to find people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get quality candidates within the first day, from accountant to zoologist, or in Survivor speak, from Chrissy Hofbeck to Cindy Hall, and everything in between. ZipRecruiter makes hiring easier, and right now you can try it for free at our Only Our Listeners Get It link, ZipRecruiter.com/survive. If you go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive today to try ZipRecruiter for free, we, that's Rob as a podcast, get credit for sending you. So once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Now let's get back to T-Bird and Clarence.
So Clarence, when we were doing our immunity challenge together, I'm shocked that they wouldn't have kept you as well to make the Baron tribe a stronger, you know, plus one. But I knew if I hadn't won immunity, I knew if that they were going to vote Frank out. So if you had won, Frank was the one going, and he was all I had. I mean, I was always, you know, at the bottom. So that's why at the time I couldn't think of anything except just staying in the game just one more day each day. Because that's the way it had been for me. So, you know, just wanted to point that out. I guess you probably knew. I don't know if you ever knew it was going to be Frank.
I didn't know. Man, I didn't know. So everything, a lot of shit was kept from me. So I did not know about the drama that was going on between, you know, in your tribe with the old young. I didn't know that Lex was plotting against me and shit. I had no idea, man. I genuinely didn't know, but I think that's the ignorance of youth. You know what I'm saying? I was 24 and literally my goal every day was to get to the next day. And so I played the game very reactionary. I didn't have a strategy. I wasn't playing a, so I had no social game. Like this idea, people are like, oh, it's the social game. Like, I don't even know what the fuck that was. Like, that wasn't the hell is a social game. Like, I was just out there trying to survive. I'm like, I mean, and again, it was Africa. I'm like, man, this shit is horrible. This is hard. Like, our water was, I think back then it was just the idea that you were playing a game, you had to keep it front and center. And it was so hard to do in those early seasons. And the people who did it well, I think they were the ones who, they were the ones who were able to kind of move on a little bit further in the game. If you or Frank or Kelly, and I think that's what was always interesting to me, T, was if you and Kelly would have talked and you would have said, hey, if we get Clarence or we get, you know, it was almost like everybody was just silent and kind of okay with me going, because it gave somebody else 3 more days, right?
Yeah.
So it was almost kind of like, if you see a pig going to slaughter another pig, you don't want to say like, hey, it's like, man, glad it ain't me. And now, you know, you think about some of the moves, and again, I not that I watch a lot, but some of the moves that players make today, it's like people go from shit. You can go from secure to out in a matter of hours in today, and you can go from, you know, on the chopping block to fucking like in the finals. You know, like week one, I forget what season it was, but they were like, oh shit, they were like damn near like barely got through week one, and I think they went on to like the finals or even one or somebody. I don't remember what season it was. It
happens a lot,
and it's because like people are so keyed into playing the game now. But man, the first 48, we were winging that shit. The first 48, we were winging it. And if anybody says anything different, man, I call bullshit.
Yeah, and Clarence, the best point that you make about all this is we were in a small little Boma where we were watched. Lex watched every single move. Anybody that tried to brush up next to somebody or say a word, psychologically, you nailed it. The game for me, I've always said, physically compared to psychologically, the emotional psychological part of the game was way tougher to me than the physical, because I really did. I guess you said you felt like a prisoner.
That environment,
and you were watched. It was terrible. It was. By the way, I guess Clarence, you probably know now, and Rob, I'm not a quiet person at all. I mean, far from it. The whole time, kids said, "Why are you so quiet?" I was so quiet the whole time because emotionally, we were beat down basically from the start. Our tribe, the elder tribe, were so beat down. And just trying to make it to the next 3 days is all I was trying to do. And once we got over there with Lex, locked in that little area where he was controlling everything, it was terrible. It was really terrible. And so for you, Clarence, when you asked me not to vote for you, I thought, what do I have to lose at this point? I mean, I see what they've done to him, and he's part of their tribe, and that's getting ready to happen to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I wasn't going to let Lex know, but I certainly wasn't going to do what everybody else was doing. Well, I wasn't going to let him know it either. So Clarence, you were in a tough situation. You really were. You were. Why did you apply? You hadn't seen season one or two. What made you apply?
So I'm going to break this news right here. True story. No bullshit, man. And this is why I love Lynn Spielman to this day. I think I was the first person ever cast on the show that never applied for it. I never applied for Survivor. Breaking that right here. A lot of people, some people knew, but I never applied. Big Brother season 2 applicant. It just so happened to be. Yes. So when I went out to LA, for the Big Brother final round of interviews.
Yeah.
So Dr. Will was in my group. I was out in LA. I remember seeing Dr. Will, man. Great, great fucking dude, by the way. And much love to all the Big Brother people, man. But Lynn Spielman came to me, and that last day, Lynn said, she called me in my hotel room. She said, I got an interesting situation for you. And I was like, okay, what's up? She was like, well, it's good news, bad news. Which do you want first? And I'm like, well, give me the bad news. And she said, okay, we may not necessarily want you for this season of Big Brother. And I'm like, well, that's the fucking bad news. I'm like, well, okay, what's the good news? And I figured the good news would be, hey, we want you to be on next season, you know, next summer or whatever. And she said, we might want you for Survivor Africa. And my first thought was, the fuck is Survivor? You know what I'm saying? Like, I legitimately, but I didn't say that because I ain't stupid. So I was like, oh, cool. So now here's how stupid I am, right? And I'm thinking like, oh, Survivor, that must air in like, you know, this like January or some shit. Because they had just done the Australian Outback finale.
Yeah.
I remember there were
signs after the Super Bowl
or something. So I was like, oh, well, that's cool, December or whatever. And she said, no, we're going to air. So Survivor was the Survivor Africa was the first one to air in the fall. That was another thing people don't remember. No, none of the other Survivors, the previous two, never aired in the fall. We were the first one to air in the fall because, of course, CBS, God bless them, great business people, realized, like, shit, we can run two of these and do two a year. So they're like, oh, yeah, and by the way, we leave on July 4th, and that leaves us 2 weeks for you to get your shit together, get a passport, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh. So I literally had to, like, haul ass, get all those shots, get a passport. I went to an immediate next day interview with Mark and Les and Craig Polesian and all those people in that big ass room at CBS. And did the interview. And then with a few hours, man, she's like, hey, you're going on Survivor. And I'm like, awesome. Now, in the back of my mind, I'm still thinking, like, the fuck is Survivor? What just happened? Like, in a span of 24 hours, I went from trying to be on Big Brother to cast for Survivor Africa. And I was just like, holy shit, lightning bolt. Life just changed overnight. That's how that shit happened. Never even applied for it. And still to this day, I wonder how I would have done in Big Brother.
So, Clarence, something that I don't think you know is that you and I have something in common in that I applied to be on Big Brother 3. And I went very far into the casting process and they told me, no, we're not going to use you for Big Brother 3. Maybe next year. And then I got a phone call a couple of months later from the casting office and they're like, hey, do you want to be on Survivor? And they said, we're going to fly you back out to LA. And then I went through the whole thing again and met with all of the executives. And then they said, okay, you're going to be on Survivor 6. And then they took me to the hospital and started like inoculating me. And then 4 weeks later, I was on Survivor the Amps. But I had been, I did know what Survivor was.
Yes, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, how awesome, you guys.
You paved the way for me, Clarence.
I don't know, man, because listen, to this day, and here's the funny part, I shit you not, man, I can't believe I'm going to admit this. T, listen, I'm going to admit this. I have watched more seasons of Big Brother than I have Survivor. True shit. I'm a huge, I swear to God, man.
Yeah.
Big Brother is fascinating. Fascinating. Fascinating to me. Seriously. I don't think I could. Now looking back at it, do I want to do it? I think I would have done it. I would have enjoyed doing it when I was young and single, married, father of four. Now, hell no, fuck no. I don't want no piece of that. And now they're like, you know, you got racism and shit, and people like, no, man, it's too easy to get into too much real life shit in Big Brother.
Did you watch the season of Big Brother that you thought you were going to be on? That was when Dr. Will was on, right?
He was in Africa with you.
Did you end up watching it?
Yes. Chill Town, Mike Boogie, yes.
So how do you think you would have done with the ones they had out there?
Man, I think if I could have linked up with Dr. Will, I would have been all right. Because the thing about Big Brother is it's not as physically taxing. And with Big Brother, your personalities can kind of just, you can lean a little bit harder because it's mostly a social game. You don't have the difficult is the combination of physical stress with mental stress. You're tired, you're hungry. So your decision making is thrown off via outside stress. In Big Brother, your decision making is thrown off via social stress. Does this person like me? And so it's just a different way of playing. I think I would have responded better to the challenge of the social stress. The physical stress and mental fatigue of Survivor is a legitimate thing, man. Especially for us, like I said, that damn prison, it does, man. That berm just does things to you. When you can't move and you're constantly just kind of not fun, man. Difficult. And I tell people all the time, it was as physically demanding as it was, man, it was 10 times more mentally taxing. And that's the thing I tell people all the time. Like, I even joke about it. Like, there are so many fans, and I love the fans, man. I do. I love the fans with all my heart. But trying to explain to fans that your decision making is armchair quarterback. It's like, well, I don't understand how he overthrew him. Like, it's third and three, and the guy's 4 yards away. What are you doing, Brady? Well, it's like he got somebody 6'3", 310 pounds running up his ass. Like, you know, you sitting there in the comfort of your lazy boy with lasagna stains on your fucking T-shirt, with your gut hanging out, with your damn, you know, wife sitting there with you, you know, damn cholesterol through the roof, your fucking back knee going. And so I hate when people do that, because it's like, well, I don't understand why. But like, no, because you're not out there. Like, man, your brain, listen, I swear to God, both of you, would you agree with this? No matter what you do, there's going to be some day, some moment in that game when you cannot get your mind and body to connect. Would you both say that's accurate?
Yeah, most days.
Sure, definitely.
Yes. And you're trying to make important decisions like, am I going to align with this person, or is my strategy off? Or, hey, something, hey, T, I can pretty much tell you that in hindsight, oh shit, I should have went to, you know what? When Lex told me that, oh, you're an idiot. You're going to tell me I got 2 hours to figure out how to not get voted off. Oh shit. Yeah. Thank you for giving me that time and let me figure out what to do. Well, when your brain is working, and again, that's armchair quarterbacking. But Clarence is a dumbass. He blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, bro, your brain's not working. And you know how you end up stealing food when you don't give a shit? When your brain ain't working, that's when you take food from your tribe. Because you know what? Fuck them. They're a bunch of strangers. And in the real world, you know what I do? I kill them. That's what my brain said to do. People are like, you stole beans. I'm like, I didn't steal shit. I took it.
Yeah. Partially yours.
Well, Clarence, that, I mean, I'm going to defend you here a little bit, because that wasn't exactly how it played out. You didn't just say they've gone for water. I think I'm going to take some food. You didn't do that. You were helping somebody else that looked like Lady Di was in bad shape. So for you to say maybe I need to give her some nutrients, I think that was a very sincere move that you made. Okay, yes, you had some, but you didn't just arbitrarily, everybody left and you say, hey, I'm going to open some beets, because if you had, you wouldn't have let Lady Di in on it. You'd have done it yourself without letting her know anything. So
no, yeah, you're right. I wouldn't have shared. So here's the thing. We already said, okay, Diane's going to get voted out. I was literally helping her because she didn't look good. Now, was it the right thing to do? Absolutely not. But they were willing to leave her there. That's the shit that gets me. Is I'm made out to be the bad guy because I took food. 100% did. I give two shits about it. That's just me. Fuck them. But what gets lost in the shuffle is that she could barely stand up. And they were all like, yeah, we're going to get water. And I was like, what about Diane? They was like, well, all she's going to do is rest. And I was like, this is the most gangster shit I ever heard, man. This is like, you know, some freaking Donner Crossing shit. I'm like, y'all going to leave this lady just laying here? Like, I was like, man, bro, I'm not cool with that. So, you know, I'm thinking like, man, let me do the right thing. And that's some more shit too, man. I should have went with them.
Yeah.
I should have left her. But again, that is me. Like, that's why I say, like, you have to, in hindsight, you got to kind of say, okay, like, T, I'm not a quiet person, but I need to be a quiet person for the sake of my game. I am a helpful person, man. If I got your back, I got your back to the day I die. So if I see something wrong, or if I see somebody needs help, I'm going to do something. I'm going to help them. That's just how I was raised. So she looked like she needed help. At that point, it wasn't about the game. It was just like, all right, man, this lady getting voted out. Shit, she don't look good. And so my decisions, while poor for the game, were consistent with who I am. And then when I open up that can, like, man, this is stupid. Like, this lady needs help. Because shit. And remember, at the time I went and did that, and this is what's critical. We didn't have water. So I opened up the can because the cans all had water in them. All of the beans and the corn and all, every last one of those canned goods had water as a preservative with whatever the fuck else was in it, right? Mm-hmm. So it was like, yo, let me just get her something. Now, that being said, was there also some self-serving to it? Yeah, but shit, if you can do a good deed and benefit, mm-hmm, why not? Mm-hmm. But hindsight, yeah, one of my less bright moves. But here's the thing. My choice was help Diane and then subsequently fucking make a good decision or a bad decision on the top of a good decision, or do what they wanted to do, which was a fucking gangster decision, and just leave this sick ass lady laying mm-hmm there and go get water, which is, as it turns out, would have been better for my game, would have been to just go and leave her sick ass right there. The other thing that would have changed the game too was had we made fire. If we make fire, then that changes everything. Because that was the other part too, is we were going to get water that we couldn't even boil yet. So, mm-hmm, it, man, there's so many things in Survivor where you're like this close and your game can fucking change. And we had this magnifying glass and I was using it and we were making smoke, but I just couldn't get the shit to light. And all of a sudden, if I'm the guy that makes fire, I'm looked at a little bit differently. And that whole shit with Diane don't happen because we boiling water, we drinking water, we yeah straight. None of that shit happens because now we got water. We didn't have water to give her. And she only, so it's just, it's so much little dumbass shit that I look back at, man, like, ah. And that's why I want to try and play again, man. And that's why this shit pisses me off that it's like.
It, Terrence, one more thing that changed also that was really, you know, when Lady Di said, you know, was kind of saying she didn't ask you to do that, as opposed to saying, hey, guys, I was in bad shape. He's only trying to help me. She knew, I mean, that was, I kind of think maybe that could have been a way for her to maybe bring the tribe back together. Because you want to keep your tribe together. Lord knows we weren't together on the other side as much as I was trying. But she didn't need to put that division there because I'm sure she knew she was going and was happy to be going the way she felt. But she kind of threw you under the bus yeah when she said that. And that made a difference too.
Well, the other thing too, though, that I could have. So here was the, and again, though, man, this is where being 24 was my problem. Because again, 24-year-old me was very much I lived my life by a very simple kind of set of precepts. It was just, everything was just straight ahead. It was kind of like, you know, when you're a hammer, everything is a nail. So they asked me, Diane, when they got back, Diane basically said, here's all the shit he did when you all were gone. All I had to do was say, she's lying. She's lying because we're voting her out. I didn't do that. Why would I do that? Now, that's a choice you have to make in Survivor. Lie, not lie. Again, it's outwit. I always tell people, man, there's ethics in Survivor. It's a gray area because it's a game, right? You know, there's bluffing. There's, and so I could have just said, no, I didn't do that. But again, that's not 24-year-old me. 24-year-old me is pretty honest enough to go, yeah, fuck you. Yeah, I did that. What? And what about it? Well, you don't want to be brutally honest when you're 3 hours away from voting somebody out. Like, so, but again, I didn't lie about it. I was later like, did you blah, blah, blah? And I was like, yeah, and here's why. So once I realized that she told them I did all this shit, I was like, oh, I got fucking got. Diane got my ass is what she did. So Diane tried to use all that shit I did as a way. And it was smart, man. It was just good ass gameplay that I respect in hindsight. So now I'm like, and oh, by the way, who are one of the people I'm closest with in life? Diane. So that just goes to show, man, it's like you playing. And I think, dang, Diane just was a victim of the elements. But in terms of what I did, Diane told them what went down, and I told the truth.
And so, Clarence, you bring up a really good point that I like to ask a lot of our guests, and you talk about ethics in the game. And I like to, you know, ask this, is there nothing sacred? Is there nothing sacred in the game of Survivor? So you play you're going back for second chances. I can feel it. I'm manifesting it out for you, Clarence, because I would love that more than anything for you. You go back your second chance. And
I do.
Would you swear on your children's lives?
It's heavy.
No. And I don't have anything against people, man, for the way they play. I think you have to be able to look yourself in the mirror. And I mean, and so, you know, one of the things I do, because I'm an officer, I'm a leader, I have soldiers. I always tell my soldiers, man, I'm like, in life, things happen. Sometimes they happen. And you both know this, right? Because just you're old enough to know this in life. There are times in life where things happen and it happens at like 2 miles an hour and you're able to see it before. It's almost like if you watch The Flash, you're in Flash time, right? Where everything is in slow motion and you're like, oh, I see that danger. I see, oh, the building's going to fall on top. And you can see all of the hurdles and obstacles and you can save the day. And then there are some times in life when things are going 130,000 miles an hour and you can't catch every single, you can't save the day. You aren't good enough. You just can't. And your decisions aren't good, but you have to be able to make the decisions that go align with your ability to look in the mirror and say, I did my best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the, like, man, I'm not by my very nature, I don't lie. So when Tom and them ask me, hey, did you take this? Did you open up a can of beans? Did you do this? Did you do this? With all these things Diane said, my gut was to say yes. Now, in hindsight, if I had it to do again, would I say yes? I am not a dishonest person. I feel like I can win the game without lying. Now, might I deceive a little bit, or if I can outwit or not play my hand completely, is that something I would do? Sure. But again, it goes back to you got to be able to live with yourself and what level of ethics you have. There are some people that we've seen play that are basically like, it's a game. It's no different than poker. I got no problem with it. What I would just say is, look, man, if somebody would have told me in 2001 that one day I would have kids in middle school and they would have people saying, oh, your dad stole food on Survivor, would that impact the decisions I make in 2001? Fuck yes. If Mark Burnett would have sat me down and said, hey, man, whatever you do on this show is going to stay with you for life. Oh shit. I'd have been like, oh, but now, and then, but I might've played a lame game and just kind of sat around like this, just kind of not doing shit. I mean, how many people have we seen over the course of 20 years of Survivor? They didn't play. They just basically tried to like, just kind of sit and let the game kind of pass by. And I mean, I think Brandon, knowing Brandon now over these 20 years, smart, charismatic, great with people, meeting Brandon and talking to Brandon and seeing the things that Brandon did in his community, especially with AIDS awareness. And, you know, I mean, we got the key to the city in Dallas because of Brandon. Brandon had us go, it was the best event I've ever gone to. You know, for the AIDS thing and to raise awareness and gay pride and all, man, there are so, and I was like, man, where was this dude on the show? Because he could have played a hell of a social game, but he chose to kind of play a very passive kind of just. So again, man, I think that's just, I think that's part of it. You gotta play in a way that makes you feel comfortable with yourself. And because no amount of money is going to make you be able to sleep at night, you know, when people are fucking with your kids, man. So, you know, for me, it's like, you know, I don't regret shit I did. I regret that that's my legacy, but no, I'm not going to lie or compromise who I am to try and win $1 million. I want to win the game and feel good about how I won. You know, I don't want to lie my way to a win. I want to earn it. You know, I want to beat my opponents, and be able to like say, yeah, I won. And I think for me, that's more important. It's not the money. I want to say, man, I won. I won this shit and I won it right.
Oh, I love that. Love that, Clarence.
My kids will see that, man. Mm-hmm. My kids are going to see this. I want my kids to actually be like, yeah.
Clarence, I saw that. The little bit of time that I was with you out there, you played exactly what you said, a straight game. You weren't conniving. You weren't doing anything. You were, you know, so what you're saying, I absolutely 100% agree. I feel like that you're being sincere with us. So I love that.
Yeah, it's a, again, though, man, I will say like the first 48, wow. And respect to all of them, man. I mean, so many of the first 48 are trailblazers and path setters because we ventured off into the unknown. And I think the success of it, even getting, if you think about the legacy of Survivor Africa, it's that it got us through 9/11. And I think that's why I think I always carry a little bit of a grudge against Rosie O'Donnell, by the way, # fuck Rosie. Because
we got another
she
one.
Could have been a voice to say, you know what? We're going to use this show. Hell yeah. # fuck Rosie. # get tease titties off Instagram. # Chad's daddy. # bring back black. You better go with that one too. # bring back black.
It's a good one.
# sexy black. But I mean, again, there's a billion up there. Mm-hmm. Throw it. But, you know, I think that's our legacy, T. I think that's truly our legacy is that we provided that vehicle. People remember where they were during our season because people watched the news, Survivor, and Friends. Think about that. That's what people watch. People right. watch Friends, Survivor, and the news.
But Clarence, you know what? I think obviously the time frame was a bad time. With that being said, I think the name Survivor took a whole new meaning, after 9/11. And even for me, I wouldn't even talk about the show because I thought this little thing we did, I mean, Survivor, it just took on a whole new meaning. And, you know, with me, of course, being in the airline industry and knowing how it affected me mentally for my job and thinking about what had happened, you know, I understood that a little show called Survivor wasn't what people wanted to see or think about at the time.
No, man, we all listen. The show is Survivor is a testament to the human spirit. And it's a testament to our ability to think under stress. And it's just good old fashioned entertainment, man. I mean, people pick their favorites. I get emails from people and messages from people on Instagram. And I'm everywhere, too, by the way. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. And people like that are just finding my season, man. I'll be like, yo, man, why the hell did you? It's like, I shit you not, man. Once, twice a week, people are like, yo, dude, why did you take that food? Because to them, it just happened. I'm like, motherfucker, that happened 20 years ago. But I got to remember, people just saw it. Like, for some people, they just saw it. So the beauty of the show is that it's eternal. You know what I'm saying? It's never going away. Somebody's going to pick up, you know, well, not a pick up a DVD, I'm dating myself, but somebody's gonna, you know, go to some streaming service and see Rob for the first time or see T-Bird for the first time. Somebody's gonna see, hey, how cool is this? Somebody's gonna see Rudy, God rest his soul, for the first time. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, man, that after we're gone, that this will be a part of our legacy. And you can, 30 years from now, somebody will turn on the first season of Survivor and go and watch it like it just happened, because for them it did. It just happened, right? So, you know, I can watch an episode. Somebody showed me an episode of Family Feud from 10 years ago, and I was laughing my ass off. And you'd have thought like it was something that just aired. I mean, I think that's the beauty of this of this thing called entertainment, you know, which is why I was disappointed that Rosie could have taken it and Rosie could have turned it into something good instead of trying to make it out to be like, because none of us had anything to do with it, man. We filmed a show. She could have said, hey, we know that the nation is dealing with a lot of stuff, but hey, Survivor is still going on. And hey, take a break and enjoy Survivor. Take a break and enjoy baseball and all these things that we did. And if you think about it, everybody took their pause and then they went and Diamondbacks and the Yankees had an amazing World Series. The Super Bowl was unbelievable. You know, the national championship of college football that year was unreal. Friends had, I think, record ratings. Survivor Africa did really, really well. Solid performer. So, you know, to me, Rosie tried to, I think, you know, she kind of, you know, and like I said, managed to just, I will always have that grudge against her because, like, you know, it was wrong, man. She was just wrong on so many levels, bro.
Clarence, can you help me understand something with Rosie O'Donnell? Did she not do coverage of, like, I know she interviewed the Australian contestants. Did she not do interviews with the Survivor Africa cast because of that it was so close to 9/11 and then came back?
No, man. Nope. Yep. She had all of the Australian cast. I think they were on her show and, you know, she promoted it heavily, you know, so we still did the Letterman, the Letterman stuff, mm-hmm. Regis and Kelly. They were phenomenal, man. Howard Stern, man, I got to do Howard Stern.
Clarence, can Jake I just Gilmore, say that
had his
I
show at the time.
Remember,
but Rosie was completely like out, man.
That I was driving in the car and I vividly remember you being on Howard Stern driving around and you were so funny that day. That I remember I was driving to work and I was just like, oh my God, Clarence is so funny on Howard Stern. That was a great interview.
Listen, my Howard Stern story, this is no bullshit, man. This is exactly what happens. I swear to God. So one of my favorite memories of my mom, she passed away 3 years ago, right? But my mom is who I went. So because I got to do my press circuit, you know, you get voted out or whatever. So my mom and I had a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner at, I think, the La Meridian Hotel or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing Thanksgiving dinner or whatever here at the hotel. So here's what happens. We do the press thing or whatever. Man, look, we get the Howard Stern show. And I go into like the green room and standing or sitting across from me is Joni Lauer. China yes. is there to promote her damn Playboy or like, you know, her play, or, like her magazine.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, so we're talking and shit. My mom is sitting there and I'm like, yo, I'm a huge fan, blah, 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 blah. She's like, oh, I'm like, yo, and Playboy. She's like, that's why I'm here. I'm like, she says, would you like a signed copy? And I'm like, hell yeah. Man, I forgot my mom was sitting right next to me while this lady signed her titties and gave me a signed copy of her. I still have that copy of Playboy locked up somewhere in my damn house. Mm-hmm. And God rest her soul, man. She was so nice. Howard Stern was nice the whole. But man, that's my Howard Stern story, man. It was just it was a crazy ass day. And my mom had no idea who this lady was. All she know is my mom saw her sign, this lady signed her titties on a Playboy. And my mom was just looking at me with just this horrible look of disgust. And I was like, she was like, how do you know this lady? And I was like, I don't know her like that. Like, no, she ain't a porn star. Ironically, she went on to.
Yeah.
But at that time, it was just, you know, she did Playboy. I didn't know she was going to do some of that other stuff that she did out there, which was wild. But yeah, that's my cool little China story. She wasn't out there like T with the titties on Instagram. Where the hell is Sam, by the way? I'm curious. I haven't heard from Sam. Where's Benjamin? Hey, where's Benjamin Button at?
he's not on the podcast. He's a behind the scenes guy.
So wait, what the fuck does Benjamin Button do, man?
It helps with coordinate the podcast and gets everything ready like behind the scenes.
Clarence, I know you just talked about Howard Stern, so
hashtag Benjamin Button.
Okay, I'm writing these down. So Clarence. I think maybe Howard Stern could be the answer, but of all, you know, we did an amazing, amazing media week. Which stands out the highlight? Is Howard Stern the highlight of the media week with Regis and Craig Kilborn, Hollywood Squares? I mean, I thought Hollywood Squares and Regis and Kelly were like way over the top cool also. I mean, Howard Stern was too. Was that your favorite?
Yeah. Man, Hollywood Squares was by far my favorite, I think, because, you know, Whoopi is Whoopi, right? But I think it was being with all of y'all and having fun, you know, the fun of doing Hollywood Squares, because I still have my square. I still got my little square up at, you know, at my house. And, you know, and I was up at lunch and then Whoopi talking to us. Whoopi signed her book. I got a signed copy of her book. I still never read the motherfucker, but I got it.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And I figure one day I'm going to read shit, but hell, by this point, she lived another damn 20 years. She's probably ready for another book, shit. But, you know, it was just hanging out with you all, man. It was so much fun. You know what I'm saying? Howard Stern was just that was a lightning bolt, man. That shit flew by so fast that, you know I did it, but, you know, it was same thing with Regis and Kelly, man. All that stuff just, it lives in your memory, but, man, it flies by so damn fast. I just remember thinking, like, Regis is a very little man, God rest his soul, mm-hmm. and so is Kelly. And I felt like Shaq on that damn thing.
But Clarence, I don't remember Whoopi. Was Whoopi in a square? Because it was Tom Bergeron was the host of Hollywood Squares, the center square. Right?
Are you crazy?
Oh, God, no,
she was there. She's the center fucking square. How do you not remember?
Disrespecting Whoopi, T-Bird.
How do you not How do you not remember the black lady with the dreadlocks and the glasses in the center goddamn square?
I don't even remember getting the chance to talk to her. I don't remember at all. I remember they put me in a square with Frank and... I don't remember even getting to, and I remember, what's the guy's name? The country singer? What's the guy's name? Brad? You know, Brad.
Which one of the hundreds? Brad Paisley?
Brad Paisley.
Was it Brad Paisley?
I remember
Paisley?
Him because he was mingling. Brad Paisley was mingling with the group in there when we were eating lunch. But I don't remember Whoopi mingling with the group because I for sure would have wanted to meet her.
So, yeah, I see on YouTube, Survivor Africa Week.
Whoopi,
Hollywood Squares.
Going on at 8 o'clock defensive.
Yep.
Yeah, let me look at this and see how many different.
Crazy.
Yeah, how many different squares?
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I see. Here's Clarence. Here, you want? Let me play this. This is the YouTube video. Okay. Here's the opening for Survivor Africa Week.
9 squares. Last day. Who will survive as Martina Navratilova.
Brad Paisley.
Whoa!
Brad Garrett.
Yep.
Gilbert Godfrey.
Oh, yeah.
Join survivors Teresa Cooper and Frank Garrison. Kim Power. Brendan Quinton. Kim Johnson and Ethan Zahn.
Oh, did they mix you up and have you on different days? Maybe they didn't want to go all in on Survivor Africa. Say that they would have gone all in on Australia, Clarence. Yeah, well, see, this is BS.
So Brad Garrett was a regular. Whoopi was a center square regular. Who else was? Gilbert Godfrey was a regular.
That's right. Yeah.
Paisley. I don't remember if Paisley was a regular or not, but Garrett, I want to say, was doing double duty because I think he was doing Raymond and he was doing Hollywood Squares for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Godfrey, was another regular. So, yeah, they mixed us up. So it was the regulars, and then they did, because we did two shows. They did two shows. We did two shows. So, yeah, that would have been the week. I think it was just we were on for four shows that week.
Yeah. T-Bird, how was sharing a square with Frank?
it was great. I mean, Frank was my guy. He from the start, he's all I had. So it was great. You know, Frank, he's straight man. So, you know, You gotta love Frank.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta love Frank. Hey, so Clarence, yep. So I had forgotten about Brad being on there, but you mentioned Everybody Loves Raymond, so I just want to ask your opinion. I think that Rob reminds me of Raymond. What do you think? Ray Romano. I do. I just think he reminds me of Ray Romano a lot. Yeah.
Clarence, you big Everybody Loves Raymond guy?
No, man, not really. They didn't have no damn black people on that show, man. In fact, Brad Garrett made the funniest. No, I swear to God. So me and Brad Garrett actually, like, he was like, you watch the show? And I was like, no, man, you don't have no black people. He was like, oh, shit. He was like, you and Paul Mooney, God rest his soul. Paul Mooney, comedian, just passed away. And Brad Garrett said Paul Mooney made a great joke that it should be called Everybody Loves Racism.
Oh, no.
Brad Garrett said that shit. I was dying laughing because that's exactly some shit that the late, I can't believe he, you know, he just passed.
Yeah, this week.
The late Paul Mooney would say. So, but no, man, it was never one of my things. So, you know, shit, look now, man, CBS is definitely changing, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of diversity and, you know, hopefully that'll extend to Survivor and, mm-hmm. you know, all that good shit, man. So, you know, so we'll see.
And Clarence.
Hey, did you ever I want to ask you both this. Have either of you ever talked to Jeff? Have either of you had a conversation with Jeff since your season? Like an actual conversation?
I've talked to him a couple of times.
Yeah. I got to tell you my last conversation with Jeff Probst.
Go ahead, T.
It was 6 years ago about, and he said to me, T-Bird, you're not going.
Wow.
That's all it was. That's the only conversation since after Cup happened. I'll never.
Wait, hold the fuck up. He called you a senior.
No,
not
it was
going?
On TV. No, they did it live.
He said it in front of the whole world.
They made T-Bird sit in an audience. They could tell her she wasn't going to be on Survivor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for second bullshit, chances, CB. Man. Are you serious?
Yeah.
See that? Listen. Listen, the second chance thing. I don't know if CBS listens to this show, man. I don't know if they watch. And I don't really.
Yeah.
When I left the show, the coolest thing that ever happened to me, man, was this. Mark Burnett, I'll never forget this. I get voted out. We went back to, you know, our little village or whatever it was, man. And so, you know, you get a chance to sit with Mark or whatever. And Mark said, what happens next is up to you. Doors might open, they might not, but if you get a chance, do something with this. And when I say do something with this, like take this time while you're here. And I think he was talking about, you know, going on safari and being a part of the, because I was the last person, I was the last one of the non-jury mm-hmm. members.
Yeah.
And so we got to go on this amazing safari. And when we went on this amazing safari, man, and that's why I say I'm in debt to them. 24-year-old kid from Detroit, Michigan, man, and I'm in Africa. And I'm in the Chulu Hills and I'm hanging out with the Samburu and I'm at the Maasai Mara watching the wildebeest migration and I can see Mount Kilimanjaro and Lake Barango and went to Savo to Patterson's Island Camp and all of this. I went to freaking the Indian Ocean and Mombasa and all these places. I mean, I saw Africa. I that's a once in a lifetime trip. You know what I'm saying? To be able to afford to do something like that. So, man, I am so in their debt, but Mark said, do something with it. And so that trip was one of the reasons that I joined the Army, because just kind of being out and about and seeing how other people live, man, it gave me a respect for America. And then 9/11 happened and I was really kind of like, man, I need to do this. And even though, you know, it was 9 years in the making that I eventually joined the Army. You know, Mark had a lot to do with that, man, because he did. He said, like, look, take some time and really think about, you know, what you want to do, who you want to be. And I will always be indebted to him for that. And Frank, man, because Frank talked about the Army. I mean, when you you know, being in that dumbass berm, you got nothing to do but sit there and listen to people and shit. And Frank talked about, you know, being in the military and what it did for him. And all the things he told me back in 2001 are completely true. And, man, I'm indebted to him for that, because everybody I met that was a veteran or that served put me on that path to be here. Where I am today, man. And so, you know, to look back at 2001, 20 years, if somebody would have told me that I would be a major in the United States Army and deployed and talking to y'all dumbasses, you know, in the middle of the night, my time, I'd have laughed my ass off. But, you know, some way, somehow, man, we got here. So, you know, that's the cool thing. So, man, I would just say, look, I haven't talked to Jeff since in 20 years, but I try and get him to respond to me on Facebook. So the next hashtag is Jeff Respond, because I just want Jeff to acknowledge me, man. It's like, look, man, I know I stole food and shit, but it's like, Jeff, you can at least say, CB, what's up, man? You know what I'm saying? Like, acknowledge me. So we need to get Jeff to respond to me and say something, man. Cause you know what? I did something with my, he could, fuck yeah, he could. But that's the other part that concerns me too. Is like, man, I get you powerful, but yo, man, give other people a chance that the fans can see a second time, man. Stop running the same fucking people out there. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah, of course you're gonna be a fan favorite if you keep running the same people. Like, if I played five times, somebody was like, "Well, he's a fan favorite." It's like, well, shit, yeah, I'm a fan favorite. You keep giving opportunities to the same fucking people. And if you think about this, right? Who's the pilot and shit? Which one is the pilot? Who was that? Oh, Hunter.
Hunter.
Man, they promote the shit out of Hunter.
And Terry Deets.
Hunter, the Air Force pilot or whatever, a FedEx pilot or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, Terry, man. Well, guess what? I'm currently serving, man. You know, I'm currently still in the Army. And not that that should be a reason why I go back on the show, but, you know, if they wanted to say, hey, we have an alum that's currently serving in the armed forces, and I can do something with that to help, you know, promote veterans affairs or anything, man, I'm all for it. So, you know, but it's just one of those things. It pisses me off who they pick and choose. He picks and chooses who he wants to love. And I'm okay with that, man. That's his prerogative or whatever. But it's like, man, look, bro, just hashtag bring back black and hashtag Jeff Respond. You know, El Jefe, that's what I call his ass. El Jefe, I know you listening, motherfucker. Probably doesn't help calling him motherfucker, hey, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no.
Not put me on
it. I know.
He's already doing that.
Yeah. So, Clarence. So, right. Clarence, I want to ask you this. I want to go in this direction. I want to go in this direction, and I know it's going to go in wherever it goes. So, you know, you were part of the Black Voices Roundtable that we did, that Rob did, RHAP did, was wonderful, part of the Survivor Diversity Campaign. You're part of that. And so I wonder, for our season, Africa, of course, we had you and we had Linda Spencer, an amazing woman that's done quite a bit with her life. Yeah. Did you feel like, I know you didn't play... Yeah, I know y'all didn't get any time to play together. Do you think that you would have had an alliance with Linda Spencer? I know in the age, you know, y'all were in two different places in your life, but do you think that would have been a bond there in the game?
Absolutely. Immediately. Because you feel it. You every day I woke up, and again, man, it's not, and I'm not saying this I'm saying that one of the things that came out of the panel was the uncomfortability of being isolated. When you're the only black person, you are looking for the other person. So it is just, it's not, and it's kind of like we were saying, man, like I made a joke about, you know, Survivor Harlem. You know, if you get off of the bus Survivor Harlem and you're the only white person, you'd be like, oh yeah, look, interesting environment. And then you see another white person, if y'all naturally gravitate toward each other, I don't think anybody would fault you that. So would I have connected with her? Absolutely. I think that's just kind of a byproduct of us just kind of finding our commonality. Just like if there were two Hispanics or two whatever. I mean, you it is not uncommon in Survivor for people to find their bonds of familiarity, right? You know, that's why you end up seeing sometimes younger people kind of form their group, older people form their group, men, women, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of sometimes just organically happens. But I will say that, man, when you get on a bus of 16 people and you look around and it's just two black people, you get this feeling in your stomach that's just like, oh, shit. And my thought was, man, if they split us up, and when they did, it was just like, oh, man. And so when the shit happened with the food, it wasn't just that it was like, oh, he stole food. It was like, oh, the black dude from Detroit stole food. It's like, man, how many goddamn stereotypes can you be in one fell swoop? And it was just so, you know, yeah, you feel it. And yeah, I would have bonded with her.
Clarence, you might find this interesting, and I don't know if production before the game started approached you and asked you any questions. They actually asked me one question before the game started, and I'm like, wonder why they asked me that. They asked me what I thought about the black woman, what did they ask? Something like, what did I think? And I'm like, what? I mean, I didn't understand the question. I didn't understand why they thought it might be a problem. So I don't know if they thought because I'm from the South that I'm not sure. I mean, I never thought of it. And I always wondered why they asked me that question. Did you get asked anything before the game started about how you might get along with one of the other players?
No, not at all, man. But I will tell you that it was not lost on me that that production was not very diverse. It was not lost on me that when I went into that room to interview, that room was not very diverse. The Hollywood Square set was not very diverse. I mean, there's a pattern there. And that's not to malign CBS. I mean, I think that the network in and of itself has admitted that, you know, it definitely diversity is, they've got to get better. I think they've at least been kind of fair about admitting what they were. And you know, I give them kudos for that, man. Those of us that had to play during those conditions. And I mean, listen, I remember just literally being like, at one point I was like, damn, can I get a cameraman? Can I get a sound dude? Like, man, did any brothers work on this damn? Like, it was just so lacking diversity to the point. Again, it created an uncomfort, but it's like we were saying during our panel, man, you almost became comfortable in being uncomfortable and hiding how uncomfortable you are and just putting a smile on because you had no place to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we had Linda Morris, who was like one of the escorts or aides or whatever, man. Thank God for Linda, man. I praise the Lord, Linda Morris, my angel, because she was someone of color that I could have a conversation with, and just talk to, and she wasn't afraid to call bullshit. And then there was a few, I think Joanna was another one, man. So, but yes, again, we're talking about Joanna. Like, yeah. Outliers, but when your decision makers are all of a certain archetype, then it's like it's like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, and again, man, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just stating the fact. It's like we all said, man, it's important that you hear what people are saying. I think that's what the Me Too movement is about. I think that's what the Black Lives Matter movement is about. I think that's what people are trying to say. It's just, man, when people are telling you that they are having an experience that is different from yours, it is incumbent upon you to listen. You don't have to agree. Just listen and then ask yourself, hey, does making our environment more diverse, would that amplify the better parts of who we are? And if the answer is yes, then you do that. There was clearly something going on in Hollywood that had to do with the fact that the people making decisions were very much male and pale, and women weren't being treated fairly. You know, that's a fact. It's not, it's just a flat out fact. So, you know, I'm hoping that whatever happens, whether I play Survivor or not, what I'm hoping is that it becomes a reflection of the best parts of who we are, and that the tokenism stops of having just one of this or one of that or whatever, and that you just put the best possible candidate out there and not just your onesie twosies. Like, you know, it just play, put the best group out there and let them play. Or, you know what I'm for? Rerun a whole season. Bring everybody from Survivor Africa back, run that shit back, except this time make it Survivor Hawaii. And put us in a hotel and let's see who win that shit. Run it back, man. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
I think of how cool that would be to run seasons, run an entire season back. You know what I'm saying? Run it. Cause look, if you did our season over in Africa with no 9/11 now, so we can play. And now you put us near some fucking water. Cause there is water in Africa, but it's like near the Dead Sea and shit, but we can float. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this shit right. Run it back. 20 years later, 20-year reunion. Run that shit back, Jeff.
Yeah, who would win, T-Bird?
LFA, hashtag Jeff respond.
T-Bird, who's the winner of that season?
Who's the winner of Survivor Hawaii?
Survivor Africa 20-year reunion.
In Hawaii. In a hotel in Hawaii.
Yeah. I think Clarence has it now.
No, let's say Survivor Africa.
Yeah.
Survivor Africa, Dead Sea. We run the whole crew back, 20-year reunion.
Boy, Clarence, if they thought you were going to win all the challenges then, I think that you've really got the edge now.
Right. Hell yeah. Right. Shit. And then, you know, by day 6, man, I'll be like cutting people's throat.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you got this, Clarence.
So, hey, Clarence. Have you played anymore?
I forgot. We can't run everybody back.
Yeah. Shit. Some people, you might have some trouble getting them out there.
Some people ain't coming back. But I hear you. You know? That shit. That crazy.
Maybe a tribe of the Survivor Africa cast you could take on Australia.
Woo! Woo!
Yeah.
Well, you guys, here I am acting like my naive self again. Who wouldn't want to come back? CB, who wouldn't want to come back if they were actually really and truly asked?
Yeah, nobody said want to come back.
It's not want to come back.
Yeah.
T. Come on, T.
Yeah.
Come on, T. No, I want to say it.
No, you guys, seriously.
One of us has pending legal issues that they may not want to.
Okay. I stepped into that one. Hey, Clarence. Yeah, oh my God, that's Clarence. Have you played any more rock, paper, scissors? Yeah. And if you have, do you still always go rock?
So I found out that because I am an alpha male, this is what I was told.
Yes,
I have a proclivity for going rock because it is a dominant object. So I have made a concerted effort to go paper since paper changed my life. So now whenever I'm doing rock, paper, scissors, I typically lead with paper.
Interesting.
Because paper is what you beat me with. True.
Because Clarence, that is exactly what I remember saying that to Rob one time. Most men, alpha males, will play rock. Yep. And that was what I was, that's okay, very good. Yep. All right, Clarence, what's your biggest fear?
Deeper, did you know that at the time?
I thought that.
Oh, wow.
I thought that because Rob, remember, I was a more mature player out there. I wasn't a kid. So, I mean, I was, you know, the age I was. So that made sense because Clarence is a man's man.
Yes.
He's
clearly.
I mean, look at him. I mean, wow, clearly.
But so, I'm going to tell you, here's something, T, you don't know, though. And this is another good thing about what age does. So I was 24. So 2040, I was a pharmaceutical rep, and one of my drugs was for ADHD. And so, you know, we learned all these things about the DSM and shit like that. So anyway, one day on a whim, right, I'm looking at this checklist, you know, do you have ADHD? And I'm like, well, man, let me go ahead and spell out this dumbass thing and see. And it's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, do you daydream? Blah, check, you know, all this thing. So I'm checking off this shit, right? So I give it to the doctor. I'm like, yeah, hey, look, here's one of the things. Here's one of mine. I filled it out. He was like, oh, shit, you have ADHD. And I'm like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, you didn't like, and I'm like, no. And it's like, dude, you can't just sell this shit. You got to like know what you're talking about. So he was like, look, so I redo it. I take four different exams, right? They all say ADHD. And so they're going through and they're like, yeah, man, are you just impatient? I'm like, yeah, I'm freaking dying. And one of my doctors is like, yeah, that's probably why you lost that damn rock, paper, scissors. And I was like, wait, what? He was like, yeah, he's like, dude, was your arm? He's like, could you have stayed up there all day? And I was like, oh God, no, I was dying. There was like, no, I mean, in terms of your physically, I was like, oh no, physically I was fine. They were like, so the truth is that I mentally, my ADD was on fire. Like I was like, man, this shit is horrible. I mentally could not stay up there 1 second longer. My hyperactivity, my need to just like not be in that same position stuck there, played a huge part of my game. Same thing with being stuck in that damn berm. Like my ADHD at the time, it was undiagnosed and unmedicated, had a huge impact on my game. But that's another little known fact about our little rock, paper, scissors is I just wanted it to be fucking over with. But I have been medicated since 2004.
So did you have any suspicion that you could have been the person who was voted out? Because I always thought that, oh, Clarence must have known he was on the hot seat. So that's why he's hanging in there so long in the challenge.
Yeah. So remember, my thought was this, right? My thought was, look, one or two things is true. I'm either going to win immunity and then I got to figure out how to get to next week, or I'm safe. And that's why I was kind of looking at Lex and trying to get a feel. But then there was another like, and I don't remember, but I remember by the time I looked at T, I just thought, okay, look, it's a 50-50. Because she looked like she could stay up there. Maybe she could. All I knew was this, man. I was fucking done. Like I was mentally, I saw that chicken sitting there and I was like, man, and they had a beer and I was like, man, I don't drink, but I wanted that damn chicken. Mm-hmm. I wanted that chicken so bad that I was willing to be like,
I wanted
like,
that chicken too, Clarence.
I'm done. Yeah. And I was like, I'm fucking done. I know you did. I bet you did. I was like, man, I'm done. I'm done like dinner, bro. So, you know, I had a feeling I wasn't safe, but my thought was, if I'm not, I'll hustle. Now, what happened after the fact was I wasn't safe, and everybody had kind of, I thought Lex made it seem like everybody had agreed. So that's what was different.
Yeah, everybody didn't agree.
But that was the thing that was different. Everybody didn't agree.
And Clarence, I thought about, if I had not won that and you had won, but I think if you had won, you'd have still gone back to your Baron. You wouldn't have jumped ship yet. You'd have gone to Baron, let Frank get voted out. You wouldn't have scrambled yet. You'd have been safe. Like you said, you were playing each day.
No.
So still, it wouldn't have helped me.
I knew, yeah.
Because I don't think I still would have pulled together.
Nope. My thought process was always, well, because again, but this is what I'm saying about, so remember when I used that description, man, no forward, like old school inside beer, like you play, the game was played in a very simple kind of, you stayed with your tribe until it was time to play solo. And so my belief was that win or lose, we would pick you all off and I would be okay. So when Lex came to me and said, you gotta go, I'm like, why the fuck are you getting rid of me? All you're doing is weak. You're just weakening Baron. Why would you do that? I didn't understand that the season before, Lex knew his shit. Lex was like, no, fuck no, because if I don't get rid of you now and you go Kobe, then it won't matter. I got to get rid of you when I can, which in hindsight is like, oh, shit. Yeah, that makes perfect sense, which is one of the reasons you started seeing people like, you know, I forget what season it was. They got rid of like a really, really strong guy. They were all like, yeah, if we don't get rid of him now, then, you know, he might win the whole thing. I'm like, motherfuckers, it's week one. Like, are you crazy? But again, man, that's just, that's the evolution of the game. Like, people are using playing the end game in week one, which is fucking mind blowing that some of these seasons where it's like, wait, you guys are talking about day 39 on day one. Like, oh no, she's got to go. She's so strong. I'm like, you just met her. What the fuck are you doing? So it's just the evolution of the game, man, the forward pass. And, you know, now you got people freaking, you got like, you know, you got the Kansas City Chiefs playing now the way they play Survivor. So it would be interesting to see if I could play, if I could play as fast as they play now, because they play so fast and so loose. And it's like the Wild Wild West, man. People are fucking lying, and you know, you got fucking people out there sexually harassing and shit like that, that, which is a whole different crazy ass thing. But it's just, the game is just played at such a breakneck pace that, you know, it's like, I don't even see so much strategy anymore as I just see people fumbling over strategy that you don't even need to implement. You know what I'm saying? Like one group, it was just like, yo, just win your fucking challenge. Like they're already talking about the fact that they were going to probably lose the challenge. And I'm like, yo, man, that's crazy. Just play. If you just win the challenge, you ain't got to worry about this shit. So it's an interesting, the way the game is played now, man, I wonder how well I would do.
I think you did great. Your social game is so strong, Clarence. And I know you're still strong physically. So the social game is a big, big part of the game. I mean, you can always fall back on, hey, I'm in my 40s now. You know, I don't have it like I used to. I mean, you can always fall back on that. Not that it's true, but I think you do great. I do.
No, look, I look good, girl. I look good. I mean, let's be honest now.
Brian Gumbel said you had the best abs ever.
Perform, you know what I'm saying? Like, still perform. Yeah. But I think I would be a lot more, hey, look, ever. ever. Now, it's not an 8-pack now. It's down to like 4.5, but it's a solid ass 4.5. Solid ass 4.5. No, man. You know this, man. You as you get older, you get smarter. And I think you are able to kind of just take a step back. And again, being a parent, I think just being a parent, you know, you pick and choose when you gotta, you know, when it's time to throttle up, when it's time to throttle back. And then also being married. I mean, think about the Rob. Think about just the things you've learned just being married. And T, I know you like me, you're in the divorce club. So, you know, I know you know how to fight and how to not fight and when to talk, when not to talk. So
it, I learn every
you
know, day,
there's
Clarence.
So many life experiences that now would go into that. So every day, bro, you learn when to shut the fuck up and when to say something.
Still learning.
And so that's one of the things I think that Lex had was Lex was a dad and a husband, and he had a patience to him. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the things I still love about him, man. When Lex talks, even to this day, if Lex is talking, I listen. Like, I still very much listen, and I know I'm going to get some nugget out of it, man. He's amazing dude, man. Amazing dude. Charismatic. And just, like I said, man, he's on my Hall of Fame board of father, husband, just fucking great dude. His wife, man, I love them people, man. Great people. Great freaking people.
Hey, Rob, let me ask Clarence if he wants to do this, just because I know his reactions and his descriptions are going to be like over the top awesome.
Okay.
All right. So, Clarence, I want to do a little game that I've just named. We've done it before, but I finally named it hashtag bringing your A game. So I'm going to name some of our players from Africa and just give me an adjective or just a brief description, whatever you want to do, because I know it's going to be hilarious. Okay. Here we go. First one, Kelly Goldsmith.
Oh, the brain.
All right.
Like, Kelly's
Big
a
Tom.
Fucking, like, right. Kelly, listen, hey, real quick, Kelly does some shit. I'm not even smart enough to really understand what the fuck she does, but she's the brain.
All right, Big Tom.
Hillbilly.
Brandon.
Oh, sweet.
Jesse.
And I do mean sweet. Gay in the best way. Hot. Still hot.
All right, Jesse.
Oh, God. Jesse's still a four-alarm fire, man.
She really is. Lady Di, Diane?
Mom, man. Like, mom.
All right.
One of the best moms I've ever met. And then also, just mom to everybody, man. Just, she genuinely just is one of the most motherly, warm people that I know, man. Love her.
All right, Ethan.
Tough as fuck. All the respect in the world, man. Tough. You can't get through what that kid, or I say kid, you can't get through what he has gone through and not be tough as fuck, man. As someone that lost a parent to cancer and seeing what it does to the body, man, that kid is, not say kid, like, I don't know why, but I just, Ethan will always be, because of his spirit, he has just kind of a boyish, youthful spirit. I always think of him as a kid, even though I think he's older than me. But yeah. Just, man, tough as fuck.
All right. So, Rob, do you have the message from EZ?
Yes, I do. You ready for this? Okay.
Yes.
Here we go.
What's up, Clarence? Ethan here. I hope you're doing well, my friend. I have such amazing memories of those first few challenges on Africa. The chariot, the one we were carrying all the logs. Man, we couldn't have done it without you. You were a force out there. And I love following you on social media, my friend. And I just can't wait to see you again. I hope all's well. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Ethan!
Man, I love that dude, man.
All right, how about Frank?
Go Army, beat Navy.
All right, so Frank wanted me to tell you, he said, tell Clarence my chickens are laying lots of eggs. That was from Frank.
Yeah.
All right.
Man, Frank is the first person I ever saw kill a fucking chicken, man. That shit was gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Gangster.
All right, and then the last one is Lex.
Uncle, man. Uncle Lex, man. I've never, ever, ever had a conversation with Lex where I didn't walk away better for it. And even though people are convinced we were adversaries on the show, and I guess we were, the reality, man, is that I've learned so much from him. It's better for his friendship and him and his wife. And man, just great fucking dudes. Great fucking dudes. Dude, great dude.
Okay, Rob.
Clarence, my much better looking and much younger brother from Survivor Africa. This is Lex. And I just want to tell you, I have had such a great time just watching your life progress over the last 20 years. And not just because you're getting older every year, although I'd be lying if I said I don't like seeing you get old, because I was always the one that you clowned for that. But no, mostly because you've built an amazing life. You've got gorgeous kids, a wonderful family. I can tell that you're happy, and it's given me so much joy. Anyway, I love you, brother, and I wish you nothing but the best. But I'm going to pass the phone over now to the person that I know that you actually want to hear from, and that's my smoking hot lover, Kelly.
Hey, sexy. How are you? I'm watching the Giants. And they're doing pretty good this year. Just checked your team. And they're not doing quite as well. Hopefully, they'll meet in the end and we can have another World Series. Anyway, stay sexy. And I love you.
Love you, brother.
There you go. Wow.
Oh, man.
Slinger, that's for you, sweetheart.
And manage this fucking game, man. That fucking game, this game changed my life, man. And that's what I mean, like, play again, not play again. You know, this dumbass game, man, has given me some of the most amazing people, some of the most amazing experiences. It still opens up doors for me. You know, the game was never my life, but I love what it has added to my life. And I'm just, man, I'm so grateful for that. You know what I'm saying? And even these dumbass fans, man, that just, you know, bombard me with these crazy ass questions. You know, I answer every one of them because, man, without the fans, we wouldn't be here. So, and again, man, it's crazy. Like 80 something thousand people follow your dumb ass. Mm-hmm. But I cannot believe that. And you don't sell crack or like fucking Kool-Aid. Hashtag,
not that you know of.
Rob
yeah.
Kool-Aid. Because it's like, you got to be doing something, man. Fucking 80 something thousand goddamn people following your monkey ass. That's like the craziest shit I ever heard in my life. I wouldn't pay you to pay me money to fucking follow you. What the fuck are you talking about? I'll follow where's Jimmy Button at? He's the one I want to know how to fuck 12-year-old ass. So yeah, man, this shit's been it's wild, man. Maybe my kids will play one day. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'll be old enough to play with my kids.
Yeah. Do a blood versus water? You go out with them?
Yep.
Be back on Survivor in my 60s with my children. Hey.
Let me ask you something. I already know you want to play again, and I'm crossing my fingers that happens, and I think it very well could. But other than yourself, and take me totally out of the equation, other than the two of us, who do you think deserves a second chance from Africa?
Yeah, man, that's easy. Diane.
Oh, wow.
Diane.
Lady because, Di. Okay.
That lady, yeah. And I'm gonna tell you why, because that lady took a postal route. She was a postal worker, and I mean, you're talking about being on your feet, single mom, tough as hell, and she got sick. And I mean, aside from everything that happened with the beans, man, you know, a lot of people don't know. Like, Di got sick, Jesse got sick. And in fact, T, you'll remember, like, so Rob, when we got back, we all got mailed these different kits because, as it turns out, I think Lex had a parasite or some yeah. shit. Like, you know, so there were things that I think in I know that when we were the non-jury members, when we were out, I got really bad gastroenteritis. I think Dr. B got a little bug in his tummy. So, you know, I always kind of wonder with Diane, because she was physically fit. Diane was fit, man. And I know she was tough, but again, when you're sick and trying to play this game when you don't feel well, man, God, I can't imagine. When we were out, just the non-jury members, and I was sick, I could not imagine trying to play this game feeling that way. And that was one of the reasons we voted Jesse out. Jesse was just sick. She just couldn't play. So it was just an easy choice to make, given that she couldn't really perform her best. So our first two castoffs were because of illness. Diane just, like, she was just like that first night she was struggling. And then after that challenge and no water and shit, and Jesse was right behind her. So the first two people we voted out got voted out because they were sick. And that was our postal worker and our Orlando cop. And they were both tough as hell. I know for a fact they were tough. So, yeah, I would say Diane.
You're
man,
right.
I would love to see what Diane could do if she was healthy. I would love to. She never got a chance to play. And I feel bad for her for that reason. Rather her than me. But, hey, you know, it still would have been interesting to see what she could do. Yeah.
Clarence, I know you got to get some rest. Thank you so much. I've been so excited. As you know, I've been bugging you for the last few weeks. I've been excited to talk to you. Thank you for giving up your time for us.
Yeah. Hey, T, listen, I love you so much, man. Put some goddamn clothes on Instagram, man. Stop doing videos in your damn bikini all the time, man. You like wear some slacks. Put some damn slacks on. Put like a hoodie on.
Slacks.
Mm-hmm. Stop running around half naked for every damn video you got to do. I know, like, I know you're beautiful women, man. I know you're beautiful women. But like, hashtag, keep put some damn clothes on. Like, seriously, man, we love you. Think of this as an intervention. Put some damn clothes on. You know, Glenn gonna have a, you know, right. Like, don't do that to your husband, man. Like, you're gonna have people out there trying to chase you down. and shit. So just maybe put some clothes on. On a serious note, Rob, man, I love you. I'm happy for your success and your fans. I want to thank your fans for letting me hang out with y'all. I will say this, man. If it wasn't you two motherfuckers, because I am deployed, man, there is no way in hell I would be doing this shit from 6,700 miles away, other side of the damn world. Mm-hmm. But just everybody, man, just continue to pray for all service members, man, that are out and about doing what we do. You know, for the greatest country on the planet, man. It's like this shirt says, land of the free because of the brave. So, you know, you got a lot of great men and women doing a lot of great work, man. It's the greatest country on the planet that we get to celebrate a dumbass game because, you know, people stand vigilant. So trust me, I would not be up at this hour except I love you two motherfuckers, man. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Clarence, you're the best. We really appreciate you spending time to talk to us, and you always keep us laughing, and so it's so nice to hear. Yeah.
No, man, I appreciate it. Tell Benjamin Button, get out his mama goddamn basement.
Yes, and Chad. Yeah.
Chad, who his daddy is, man.
Yo, we'll tell him.
Hey, Rob, I got to go over these couple things to make sure we've got this right. Hey, Clarence, so I want to make sure the listeners know. So these are the hashtags that we have, some of them. Hashtag, bring back black. Hashtag Hell sexy yeah. black. Hashtag Rosie yep. O'Donnell, give Clarence his Saturn. Yeah. Hashtag Chad's daddy. Hashtag Rob's Kool-Aid. Hashtag T put some clothes on. And then hashtag the best one, land of the free because of the brave. I love you, Clarence Black.
I love y'all, man. Be good. I'm out of here.
Bye, Clarence.
Be safe, my dear friend. I love you.
I will. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye, CB.
T-Bird. There you have it. Clarence Black.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love
T-Bird,
that guy.
Let me just say that this interview was sponsored by our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy. Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. T-Bird, I did have a Survivor Africa question or two for you about the logistics that we didn't get to ask Clarence.
Okay.
After watching the season this week. So we saw Clarence famously that he almost got trampled by elephants when he had to go make a trip to the bathroom. But we also saw at nighttime, where the lions and animals would be right outside of the boma. So one of my questions was, what happened if somebody needed to go to use the restroom at nighttime?
You know, that's a great question, and I know for me to say, I don't know the answer.
Oh, I guess you never had to go.
I'm not saying that it. Well, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but not any time at night did I notice anybody, not that they didn't go. But I didn't have to go out of the boma at night. And be honest, we closed it up and we had, you know, the fires going. And I would imagine maybe somebody, if that happened, would have just gone over somewhere, you know, because it was dark in the boma probably.
Okay.
I would imagine that happened. But I did want to mention two things that y'all had talked about the boma, about the if we had anybody inside the boma with us with guns, we did not. I noticed the tribesmen that had guns were when we were walking for water.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you could see them in the far off distance. I mean, they weren't close. But as far as inside our boma, I never noticed anybody that had any guns with them there. Because I know that was something that you and Haley and Lindsay had talked about. So nobody in the boma that I noticed.
Got it. Yeah. And also, I just want to say again to the listeners that Clarence was, you know, halfway around the world in talking to him. So at certain points, you probably could notice there's a little bit of a delay between us talking and when Clarence would hear what we were saying. So that was great that we were able to get with Clarence this week. It just wasn't under the most ideal podcast recording. situations, but we really appreciate Clarence being with us today.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. T-Bird.
I don't see him play it again, Rob. Yes.
I think it's a possibility. I really do, because that, you know, they have the diversity initiative where they're going to cast, okay, well, 50% of the people that they're going to bring back for or bring into these seasons are going to be people, you know, Black, Indigenous people of color. And if they do an All-Star season, I really think they're going to give a second look to some of the, you know, different Black contestants, especially that maybe would be deserving of a second shot. And they just never thought of them before for another go round. And Clarence still looks great, that he physically can still do it. And I think that people would love to have a throwback.
Yeah, and when he
so
played,
funny.
Like you said before, at 24,
yeah.
Yeah, 24 as a kid, I mean, his confessionals, we missed out on his confessionals. They would have been gold if he'd have stayed in the game. But now, I mean, not only is he old school, father, husband, still in shape, armed forces, major. I mean, and there's so many things that happened to him that's happened to him since he played. I can absolutely see seeing him in the running, and
okay.
I hope it happens for him.
All right, T-Bird. So, anything else going on for you this week?
No, I've just been so excited to talk to Clarence, and I've worked this week. That's about it.
All right. Well, of course, you could follow at T-Bird Cooper on social media. You didn't let is Clarence going to change the way you're going to be looking at your Instagram videos now?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you do whatever you want. Yeah. Your Instagram.
Although I love Clarence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I love my Clarence, but.
We know.
No, I probably won't.
All right. T-Bird.
Should I?
You do whatever you're comfortable with. It's your social media.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. T-Bird, great job. Of course, we've got plenty more of our coverage coming up on Robin's podcast, including our patron-only feedback show this weekend up in our patron podcast feed. You can check that out at robinswebsite.com/patron. Of course, we will be talking about the 20th best season of Survivor, the Australian Outback, coming up this Wednesday. Until then, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. If you stay here and listen, your life won't ever be the same. 'Cause we're talking with T-Bird now. This T-Bird.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.